Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Not Just New Movies podcast, the show where we review a seemingly random film currently not in theaters. My name is Ben Pearson, and today we're going to be talking about Tom Holland's 1989 film, The Wizard. Joining me today is my regular co-host, Tyler. How's it going, sir?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Joining us today is a prolific writer of all things movie-related. He writes for Film.com, Cinematical.com, and a bevy of other places. Eric D. Snyder, thanks very much for joining us on the Not Just New Movies podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Fantastic. Yes, Eric and I met up at the Sundance Film Festival this past month.
We were two of like 80 people sharing a condo.
Yeah. It was good times though. It was really cool for me to get to a chance to meet like a lot of you guys and these people that I'd kind of been reading for years and stuff. And yeah, Eric was teasing us the whole time about being the kind of rookie class and the whole thing. So
the freshman,
Yeah, good stuff. All right, so if you guys are just joining us for the very first time, we start every episode with the character name game, transition into our media consume section where we talk about what we've been watching, move into our review of the week, and finish up with listener voicemails and emails. You can always leave us a voicemail at 904-469-6566 or email us at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. And you can find this and every other episode of this podcast at notjustnewmovies.com. So the character name game this week, the burden falls to me to choose a character. So for those who are listening for the first time, I will choose a character here, and then Tyler and Eric will have to guess at the very end of the episode to see what movie that character comes from. There also has to be some sort of correlation to a film that was released in wide release this past weekend, or in this case, since we're recording on Friday, today. So the character's name... What's that?
Weekend at Bernie's 2.
No. I don't know if you just heard what I said, but you actually have to guess at the very end. I don't know. This is only episode, 27? Okay. How many times have we been doing this? So the character's name for this week is Thomas Gabriel. So just be thinking about that as the episode progresses, and we'll return to it at the very end.
Now,
so.
What stops me from just looking it up on the internet?
The honor system. And that's
you
about
roll
it.
In here and you're throwing in all these new changes to the game.
I'm just saying. Are we just on the honor system, like not to cheat?
We are. Yeah, that's how we.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I cheat, but for guests, it's the honor system.
Thomas Gabriel. Okay. All right. Thomas Gabriel. I won't cheat.
Fantastic. All right. So let's move on into the media consume section. This is the part of the show where we talk about what we've been watching, either on TV or. Movies that we've seen recently, old ones, new ones, concerts we've attended, any sort of special events, basically just kind of an open forum for what we've been doing in the week. So Eric, let's start with you. What have you been consuming this week?
I've been consuming, I watched Big Mama's House, that thing last night.
Oh, wow.
Big Mama's Like Father, Like Son.
How was that?
Terrible. Just completely terrible. Like,
whoops,
you know,
there it is.
Like, I don't know if you guys saw either of the first two Big Mama's House movies, but they also were terrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you expect, you know, maybe it'll be kind of terrible, the third one.
Right.
Actually, you kind of expect that from anything that Martin Lawrence comes near anymore. But it was even worse than I imagined. Unbearable.
Man, yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody really had high expectations for that. I think of all of the sequels that are going to be coming out this year, that one is probably the most reviled and or least respected of
I know it. I don't know who – I mean, I guess the last two made money. I guess that's why. But the last one was in 2006, so it's been 5 years.
That's what I was thinking. It seemed like a big break in between the two, and it's not like there's a rabid Big Mama's House fan base who's clamoring for a third sequel or another sequel.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened, but so there it is, and it's really bad. And if you've ever seen, it's based on the premise that since a guy dressed as a fat lady is the funniest thing in the world. Then it would be even funnier if there were two guys dressed as fat ladies.
Wow. Comedy structure at its very finest.
That's basic comedy math, my friends. That's science. But it really – I remember seeing the trailer like a month ago and honestly at first thinking that it was like a Tracy Jordan from 30 Rock parody.
Yeah.
Some movie that he would make.
Honestly.
But no, real movie.
Man, that is depressing.
Who dat Big Mama Ninja?
anything else you've been consuming this week, Eric?
What else did I watch this week? I saw all the new releases. I saw I Am Number 4 and I saw Unknown. What else did I watch? I watched Hocus Pocus.
Okay, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. Something completely random. That's what this podcast thrives on.
There you go. Hocus Pocus. It was for I read a column at film.com called Eric's Bad Movies, and it was for that.
did it live up to the title of your column?
It did. It perfectly matched the criteria.
Nice.
That's the one – I had never seen it, but I guess it kind of had a cult following from people my age because it came out when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got Sarah Jessica Parker, Bette Midler, and Kathy Najimy as witches.
Mm.
Which having that cast means it is the film is very high on the list of movies that you are likely to see reenacted by drag queens.
Wow, that's true. I never thought about that.
Like you walk into any drag bar and see a Hocus Pocus reunion going on.
Tyler, did you ever see Hocus Pocus? I've never seen it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
What did you think about it?
I remember it, yeah, being exactly like a kid's movie, basically like one of those Mary-Kate and Ashley detective movies that they used to have
mm-hmm.
when we were kids. Like they were just goofball, and like kids just tend to stumble into this witch's lair and just unlock all
scenarios.
These. Yeah, they just unlock the witches, and all this stuff goes on, and they have to do something by a certain time at night.
Yeah, it's very Halloweeny, very Halloweeny.
Definitely Halloween movie.
Nice. All right. Well, Tyler, let's move to you. What have you been consuming this week?
Well, I watched Monday Night Raw this week, which is WWE's kind of flagship television show. And guess who's hosting WrestleMania this year?
Hulk Hogan.
Bette Midler. Yeah.
If Bette Midler were The Rock, you'd be correct.
Oh, it was close.
So The Rock is coming back off of his, I guess, the driver fame. And it was like a huge thing that went down, and he did this 20-minute promo where he just talked and rapped or whatever wrestlers do for an extended period of time.
I watched a clip of that. Somebody linked to it on Twitter of his big entrance, and the crowd freaked out when they saw it was The Rock.
Yeah.
Like they shat themselves.
Yeah, they pretty much did. The entire city of wherever the hell they were. I think they were in Canada or something. They usually go to Canada. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I'm not just taking a shot in the dark. But yeah, it was really fun to see him kind of just basically just verbally bitch slap everybody in the company. Mm-hmm. Apparently.
Nice.
Also been checking out this new Conoco produced show on Adult Swim, Eagle Heart. Have you heard of this?
I think I saw a preview for it. I've never actually seen the show though.
Yeah, I've seen a couple episodes. I think I missed either the first two or the first one, but it stars Sam Elliott and other people.
Wait, the Sam Elliott?
Oh, excuse me, I misspoke. Chris Elliott.
Okay. I was floored there for a second.
But it does kind of have
so
that.
Close.
The simple names getting confused. But it's kind of like a cheap knockoff of Walker, Texas Ranger mixed with CSI Miami mixed with any other type of cop drama, mm-hmm. but within a 15-minute span. And this episode I just watched this week was like the premise was that anything that happens in the air, like any crime committed in the air, is perfectly legal because like the law only applies to people that walk on the ground. So
right.
There's this like 19 teens baron that has this huge zeppelin up in the skies, and it's called. It's called like the crime colossus or something, where just all this crime goes down in this huge blimp, and like two guys are jumping on trampolines doing a drug deal because legally they're allowed to do that. So Chris Elliott's character wears like a cowboy hat, and he's like a U.S. Marshal, and so he goes on these ridiculous escapades and finds all these criminals, and at one point he gets a jetpack and he's just shooting people as they're committing sky crime, which is completely justified because he is also
he can do whatever he wants.
Before we go any further with this, is this a live action show or is this animated?
No, it's live action. That's what makes it all the more better.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of violence, a lot of not so much language, just kind of violence mostly.
Yeah.
So he's like a marshal, like a Walker Texas Ranger guy.
Yeah, he's basically Walker Texas Ranger, only it's funny.
Or like, you know, Timothy Oliphant and Justified or something.
Maybe not. A little more ridiculous than that.
Okay.
You know who would have been Texas
Ranger?
You know who would have been good for a part like that would be Sam Elliott.
Yeah, I've heard he's done some good stuff.
Man,
he's easily confused with this guy named Chris Elliott. Who?
Oh yeah, it's his brother.
Anything like each other. Yeah, they're like the Bridges brothers.
Sam Elliott could fill out a cowboy hat, I'll tell you that much.
Oh yeah. That man knows his way around a cowboy hat.
In every movie I do.
Anything else you've been consuming, Tyler?
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, going on to me, the only thing that I really had a chance to watch this week, I watched this morning, actually, and it's a movie called Insomnia. Christopher Nolan directed it back in, I believe, 2002.
Yeah.
Eric, I'm sure you've seen this. Tyler, have you seen Insomnia?
I've seen Inception.
Insomnia stars Al Pacino and Robin Williams. Is that ringing any bells for you?
No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Eric, when was the last time you've seen Insomnia?
I saw it when it came out, and I liked it, and I gave it a good review, but I have not seen it since then.
Yeah, I was kind of in the same exact situation. I saw it in theaters in 2002 and haven't revisited it. And since, I mean, this was before Chris Nolan was Chris Nolan. You know, this was
right.
It was after Memento, but Memento was kind of a growing, you know, groundswell of cult fanaticism and all that.
Yeah, It was his first thing after Memento. So the nerds like me were excited about it, but nobody else knew who he was.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I just wanted to go back and see it now that he's become, you know, one of the kind of preeminent filmmakers in the world. And, I honestly felt the same way that I did when I saw it then, which was like, okay, this is an all right movie. Like, there's some good stuff in here, but it's really not mind blowing, you know?
Yeah, no, it's...
There's one scene in particular that has it's a big chase scene between Robin Williams and Al Pacino, and they're going across logs. Do you remember this scene, Eric?
Vaguely.
Yeah, I know. It's especially for a movie that came out, what, almost 10 years ago? Like, expecting you to remember a specific scene is like high.
I remember that there were logs. I remember that logs were involved.
Yeah, but it was really cool. And Wally Pfister, who's Nolan's cinematographer, or director of photography, excuse me, was filming this movie too, so it had the same kind of look and pop as all of Nolan's movies do now. The color palette is really great, and it does deal a lot with, you know, the movie takes place in Alaska, and Al Pacino's character is this police officer who's been sent up there to find the killer of a young girl, and the whole movie, I don't think he sleeps in the entire thing, hence the title, but it's like, in Alaska, obviously, because of the placement on the globe, daytime, or like the light is almost always out during certain parts of the year. So that's the kind of premise of the setting and everything. And Nolan did a lot of stuff with, like, you know, kind of blurred vision and like a lot of these kind of like little cutaways to that just last a few frames, just to kind of put us in that mindset of Al Pacino's character of being, you know, a little bit off our game and kind of on edge and unable to really get our bearings of what's going on. So there are some stylistic touches in there that are reminiscent of things that he's done, you know, even back in Memento and back in Following and stuff like that. And then obviously kind of a precursor to things that came afterwards. So, I mean, if you're looking for like a decent movie, like something that you can just walk, if you're like something to fill the time and to cross off seeing Christopher Nolan's entire filmography off your list, then Insomnia is perfectly fine. I wouldn't necessarily say like, oh yeah, everybody should go see this movie, because there's really nothing like phenomenal about it, but it certainly doesn't hold up to the rest of the quality of his films, in my opinion. But
yeah, no, it's fine, but it'll be one of those like one of the lesser entries in the Christopher Nolan canon.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That was back during that phase where Robin Williams was being really awesome in like serious dark roles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember at the time that being like that was around the time of Death to Smoochie, wasn't it?
Death to Smoochie and One Hour Photo.
Yeah,
were all around that same time. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually talked about Death to Smoochie on this podcast, one of our previous episodes. I have yet to see One Hour Photo, but I heard that's one of his best performances.
Yeah, One Hour Photo is really creepy. That was a really good movie, and I wish that the guy who made One Hour Photo made a movie at Sundance. He made I Melt With You.
Oh, really?
I think. Okay. No, I've got that wrong. Okay. Never mind, I lied. He made
Welcome to the Club.
I'm sorry. He made Never Let Me Go.
Oh, wow.
Mark Romanek. Yes, that was him, from the director of
Yes,
Photo. Mark Romanek.
Okay.
Was Sam Elliott in that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Man. All right. Well, yeah, that's pretty much the only thing I've really had a chance to see, aside from like the standard kind of Thursday night comedy block on NBC, which we seem to talk about all the time on this podcast. So we'll kind of leave that.
I haven't watched last night's yet, so we can't talk about it.
Good.
Did I tell you I stopped watching The Cape?
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
I assume that was pretty close on the horizon, considering I've heard nothing but bad things about that show.
Yeah, I've read some articles that says it's the best, worst television show on right now. Mm-hmm. And usually I like think terrible things, but I just couldn't get into it. It was pretty ridiculous. Yeah, they tried to make it look too much like Batman Begins and Dark Knight and all that stuff, which is just kind of lazy nowadays.
Yeah, there comes a time when, especially in the realm of TV, where things just aren't worth the haul, you know? Like, you have to invest so many hours into keeping up with the show, and if it really isn't worth it, then there's no need to. You can just cut all ties and not feel bad about it. There's so much good TV out there to watch.
Exactly. Somebody said with The Cape, and I agree, that the show should be on Saturday mornings. Because it's like a perfect
sci-fi.
It's just kind of dumb superhero comic booky kind of dumb stuff that you would watch if you were a kid on Saturday morning, like 13-year-old boys on Saturday morning. That would be perfect for them.
Nice. Yeah, and Summer Glau wouldn't be a bad addition to that roster.
Well, exactly. See,
nice. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on into our review of The Wizard.
Do you think it's a California fees?
It's $226.
Well, we only have $27.30. What does that get us?
Nowhere.
Corey's taking his brother Jimmy on a ride.
These two boys already traveled more than 80 miles across the state.
We've hired someone to find him.
What's his problem?
He's just shy.
But Jimmy's got a secret.
You got 50,000 on Double Dragon?
That could make this the ride of their lives.
Look at him. He's a wizard.
He's headed for the video championship.
This guy.
What is that?
Power glove.
Yeah, well, just keep your power gloves up for all right?
With a touch of romance.
I am not kissing a boy.
And a ton of trouble.
That's huge.
We're too late.
One beat down!
Now.
Video Armageddon.
He's going to take a lot of guts.
You can do it!
A little magic.
You're the best!
And the wizard, Fred Savage.
So The Wizard came out in 1989. It was directed by a guy named Todd Holland. I'm not entirely sure. I'm looking up what else he's done right now. But in the meantime, let's just go ahead.
I know he was involved in Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, okay.
I know that.
So maybe he's more of a TV guy. Yeah, I'm looking at his filmography right now. It says Shameless, which is a new show on Showtime, I believe. 30 Rock, Sons of Tucson. There's a lot of TV on here. 26
Sons
episodes
of Tucson.
Of Malcolm in the Middle, and some Larry Sanders show from back in the
Well, that had Gary Shandling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he directed a lot of good TV shows, actually.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, there's not. I mean, there are some movies on here. One of them being Firehouse Dog. I don't know if you guys remember that from 2007.
I do.
and of course, how could I forget Krippendorf's Tribe with what's his name? Richard Dreyfuss, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's enough of punishing that man for the sins of the past.
Ben, you want to know the meta aspect of The Wizard?
Yeah, let's go. Tell me the meta aspect. Yes.
Yeah. Please. Okay. Well, here's the meta part. Fred Savage's character is named Corey, and as we all know, Ben Savage, Fred Savage's brother, plays Corey Matthews in a show not yet produced called Boy Meets World. So it's almost reverse meta, unless Boy Meets World is meta for referring to Fred Savage's character in The Wizard when they made the show, like, I don't know, 5 years later.
Right, yeah.
It might just refer to the fact that in 1988, everyone was named Corey.
Yep, right. True. AIM Feldman.
Yep. All right, so let's go around the circle very briefly and just everybody kind of give just brief thoughts, and then we'll get into some of the specifics of this. Eric, let's start with you. What did you think? Oh, I know, actually, Eric, you sent me a review of The Wizard when I was asking you to join us for this episode, and you're like, oh, you bet I've seen The Wizard. And I did not read your review because I wanted to come into this podcast experiencing your reactions in a pure state. So I have not read that.
I'll tell you, I watched The Wizard for the same reason I watched Hocus Pocus.
Okay.
It was for Eric's bad movies.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
What I remember about it, I remember that there's the girl who, like the tough streetwise girl, mm-hmm. Haley, that mm-hmm. Corey is friends with, and that she talked like she was out of like an old screwball comedy from the 30s. she said that. There's the part where somebody – they need some money for something, and Corey says that someone is – no, that's right. She says someone who doesn't talk very much is just shy, and Haley says, shy a few bricks, I'd say.
Yeah. I actually wrote that down in my notes as like –
Know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, Haley, you would say that if you were in His Girl Friday. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I remember her.
Straight off a page of the team.
And I remember that everybody can play video games wherever they go. Like someone just like drives around with a Nintendo that they'll just like plug into the TV at the gas station or whatever and play.
Yep.
I remember that.
Nintendo-based world.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
It was like the internet of the 80s.
It was a big, long commercial for Nintendo. I remember that.
Tyler, let's go to you. What did you think about The Wizard?
I didn't remember this movie being as cornball as it was. Maybe that's because I viewed it with the eyes of a child and thinking it was like the baddest movie ever and that everyone should be like this kid's going to these video game tournaments and traveling across the country. You say it was a long commercial for Nintendo. Yes and no. I didn't really see any Nintendo like logos or anything. I thought there'd be a lot of product placement, but you do see a lot at the end, especially with the location of Universal Studios Hollywood, which is basically
and all the thing with the Power Glove. The Power Glove had not yet come out when the movie was released. Came out like 3 months later, so this was like a big hey, look at this thing we're coming out with.
Right. But yeah, it's we can get into this, but it was just like one of those movies that you know, obviously they're pandering to the kids and then they're also advertising these products and these locations so that the kids nag the parents. We need to go to Universal Studios Hollywood now. We need the Power Glove. I want to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
97 games? Holy shit.
Yeah. I had never seen this movie, so I was just kind of – after Lawrence of Arabia, I figured we needed a massive tonal shift in the podcast, and I think this is probably as far removed from that as we could get. So
Why are we talking about this movie anyway?
I don't know. That's what the Apple II chose.
To decompress, that's how, Eric.
That's all right. How we randomly choose our movies here.
Fair enough.
Eric. Like I didn't find this movie to be particularly offensive, like in a bad way, you know, like I wasn't like rolling my eyes as like, oh God, this is a horrible piece of garbage movie. I mean, I think it's very clearly marketed towards a certain age group and a certain, you know, it's very time specific as all of the technology indicates in it. But I think it does a good job for what it's trying to be. You know, I can't really hold that against the movie for being overly cheesy and stuff. I think that's kind of exactly what it was trying to do.
Sell a product.
I mean, to some degree, yes. The acting and stuff, I mean, you know, you get into like a different type of realm when you're talking about, when you're discussing like child performances.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's very clearly, you know, very over the top and kind of on the nose and everything. And like you were saying, Eric, there are some weird touches, like with the dialogue from Haley in particular. So, I mean, I don't know. I just felt like this movie was fine. Like, I didn't consider it a disaster like I thought I was going to after looking at the poster of it before we started watching it. So
that's what drew me in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about like some specific aspects of the movie. So, Eric, you'd already mentioned that the Power Glove had not come out at that point. This was also, I guess, Wikipedia says that it was North America's introduction to Super Mario Brothers 3, and that's like the huge reveal at the end of the movie and stuff, like with the video Armageddon massive thing. Like
right.
You know, and they don't really show that much of the game either, which I
no, but it was
kind of strange.
But it was very exciting, and I think the Power Glove may have actually just barely come out. But yeah, Super Mario Brothers 3, that was the big reveal. No one had seen that yet, and it was very exciting because, like in Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2, the characters run around and they jump on turtles and shoot fireballs and stuff. But then in Super Mario Brothers 3, they do that, but with different background music. So it was very exciting to see this new game.
Yes. Yeah, I've never really been a Nintendo fanboy. I had a Sega Genesis growing up, so I missed the whole, like, that whole boat with the Mario World and all that kind of stuff. But Tyler, did you, like, what kind of gaming stuff did you do kind of back in the day?
Early 90s, it was all about Nintendo. Like, we had actually a couple Nintendos because I kept getting broken ones. So we had one that wouldn't work, and then my cousin gave me his with all these games, but then he took it back. So, like, it was a lot of, like, holy grail searches for things Nintendo for me.
Yeah.
At one point, I had the Robbie the Robot, the robot guy that I guess hooked into the Nintendo somehow, but I never could get him to work. So he was more just a guy that watched me play. But I played a lot of the games.
So sad and lonely.
Yeah. I played a lot of those games that were featured in the movie. So it was kind of cool watching that. But I don't remember them being arcade games. I didn't play a lot of arcades because where I live, we only had like two, Donkey Kong and Pac-Man.
Right.
And I didn't really, great at those games.
What else do you need besides Donkey Kong and Pac-Man?
I guess that was it, because that's the only arcade machines we had in our town.
In my day, that's what we had. You kids are spoiled.
Well, yeah, actually, Eric, I was going to ask you, what is your kind of, I guess, relationship back then to video games? And even now, like, what kind of, do you have time in your, between writing about movies and stuff to get involved in gaming at all? Or what's your relationship?
I don't play any video games now. I feel like I have enough ways to waste time. I would totally get sucked in. I know I would if I even tried. But yeah, when I was a kid, I'm older than you guys, I think. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I was in the sweet spot for this movie. I didn't see this movie when it came out, but I was like I would have been 15 in 1989. We had Nintendo. First, we had Atari 2600. When I was much younger, we had Atari 2600, which was the coolest thing in the world, let me tell you. It was very cool. Then we got Nintendo, and that was exciting. And then I sort of, I guess, I don't want to say grew out of it, because that makes it sound like video games are just for kids.
Right.
But I grew out of it, and I became a grown-up, and I grew a beard, and I got a job, and, you know, nice. I quit playing video games.
Indeed. okay, so I don't really know why we decided to go around and talk about our relationships with video games, but anyway.
The movie's about, really.
Well, yeah, I guess, just to provide a context, a little backstory of what.
Well, in the movie, it's video games are what bring everyone together. It's like what helps the father and the son bond on their cross-country trip or whatever, and they got the Nintendo in the back of the truck.
Okay,
like it's what brings families together.
Let's talk
about that.
We're
bonding because we're talking about it, Ben.
What's that?
Exactly.
We're bonding because we're talking about it.
Always, yes, sorry. Well, let's talk about that, Eric. You bring that up. Bo Bridges and Christian Slater play the father and brother to Fred Savage's character, respectively, I guess. And they, you know, the entire concept of this movie, like on the most basic level, is really pretty ludicrous. I mean, the kid just, like, the opening shot is just this kid, Jimmy, wandering down an asphalt, like the middle of freaking Utah with a lunchbox in tow, and that's it. Like, how is he surviving?
It's this weird little boy who just wanders off because he And I guess his deal is he hasn't talked ever since his twin sister drowned in a river or something.
Yeah, or he's just like really, yeah, really weird and kind of keeps to himself. And I don't know. I got like a very strong like mental disorder vibe because they're all talking about institutionalizing him and all this stuff. So anyway, like the kid, he's being put into this institution. Fred Savage's character breaks him out to go to California.
Pretty easily, mystical, by the way.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah, pretty easy actually to bust a kid out of an institution, it turns out.
I don't think anyone but Jimmy was there in the institution. I think it was just...
I think he saw one other child in another room and passed him, and then that was it, yeah.
And they hide in the back of a Hostess delivery truck.
Right, which actually, Tyler, I think brings up another maybe perhaps meta aspect, because I don't know if you saw, but the word wonder was written all across that Hostess truck, maybe. Wonder
like
years,
Wonder Years,
Fred Savage, yeah.
Oh, my brain, my brain. Dude, don't do that to me.
Blew your mind.
Lead up slowly.
I know, sorry. So anyway, like, you know, the kids are just going across on this cross-country trip.
Why are they going to California? Do you remember?
Well,
I don't remember why they were going
Jimmy
there.
Jimmy wants to go.
Jimmy keeps saying
But
California.
We don't know why. Jimmy just keeps saying California, and so Corey's just like, well, guess we better go to California.
Well, Corey also hit California with his darts while he was sitting in his room, so more motivation.
That makes more sense.
So
kids have small brains.
You know, we'll talk about this in a second, but I love the – all right. Well, actually, I'll bring that up in a minute. But while the kids are going, Christian Slater's character and Beau Bridges' character, this father and son, are just essentially jump in the back of a pickup truck and are involved in this kind of cross-country race to find the kid with a professional – runaway retriever, which I wasn't aware was a profession, but
yeah, and his deal, because he's not a private detective and he's not a cop, and he doesn't get paid if the kids show up on their own or if someone else finds them.
Right.
So he's basically a bounty hunter.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And even at the very beginning, like the parents hire this guy. And he walks directly up to the father and essentially threatens him and warns him to stay away, like stay out of his way because he has to get paid.
They find him.
That's
weird.
And then like their whole dynamic throughout the entire movie is this kind of madcap, like weird relationship where it's okay to slam into people's vehicles and cause thousands of dollars worth of damage and to tow away people's cars and get them stripped in the backs of junkyards.
They're basically each trying to find the kid and also stop the other one from finding the kids first.
Yeah. Right.
It's so like very, it's a mad world.
Exactly.
For missing and exploited children. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just thought that guy was really like, that was a weird thing to put in this
very
movie.
Weird.
Like, I've never heard of a professional runaway retriever before. And I was like, well, this movie at least showed me something that I've never seen before.
But then it gets weirder again when the guy, the bounty hunter, finds the kids and now it's Corey and Jimmy and the girl Haley.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to drag Jimmy away, and Haley yells, "He touched my breast!"
Yes,
and it's like everyone is horrified, like, "Oh my gosh, this guy's molesting this girl," and then I felt bad for him because, you know, he's sleazy, but he's not a child molester.
Right.
But then he's outraged and he goes, "She doesn't even have breasts!" About like this, just like this 12-year-old girl that he's talking about.
Yeah, he shows up at the end, and it is basically just thwarted because. Of course, he shows up and tries to, you know, grab them in the kind of the underworld of this video arcade or video Armageddon competition and stuff. Like, they're running around the back lot of Universal, like, through the King Kong ride and all of this stuff. Like,
that was badass.
Which, yeah, like, I can see as a kid being like, oh, wow, that's what that looks like down below. You know, like, it's this kind of behind the scenes, like, peeling back the curtain kind of reveal of how this stuff looks, like, how this stuff actually operates and everything, which is kind of cool on that level. But at the same time, it's just really ridiculous that this guy is just, like, like, you know, he's like a almost 50-year-old man with glasses, like chasing down these kids. What is he going to do? And he seems to only be concerned about Jimmy, not so much the other kids that are with him.
I think he was hired to retrieve Jimmy, I think. So that's the one. That's only where Jimmy. The money is.
I mean, I would just assume, considering his like violent relationship with Corey's father, that he would try to take the kid hostage, or at least try to get a little bit more money out of the situation.
Well, maybe that's what you would do, Ben.
What I didn't believe was they were running around in the King Kong attraction, mm-hmm. and somehow they got into the lower depths of the ride, and then it just so happened that they were right above the Video Armageddon Stadium as well. I was like, how large is this structure? Is like Universal Studios just one big building that they're just falling onto the different levels that are different rides?
Yeah, and they actually show from the outside. They show where Video Armageddon is, and there's nothing above it, so it doesn't make any sense.
The King Kong ride, not right there, yeah.
It's interesting that the climax of the film, of course, is the big Nintendo tournament, and which means the climax is in the form of people watching other people play video games, which is very thrilling. Very thrilling to watch a movie in which you watch other people play video games.
Right, and you know what? It actually brings up, like, throughout this entire movie, actually, I kind of was reminded many, many times of the Sylvester Stallone movie Over the Top.
Yes,
you guys remember that at all?
Oh, yes.
That's another Eric's bad movies.
Bad movie, Eric? Come on. That's the eye to eye here, man. Over the Top. Motivation.
I like the way that he can arm wrestle better if he turns his hat around.
Well, yeah, he becomes a machine at that point.
That's like Popeye and spinach. Yeah, he turns his hat around, and now he's super strong.
And forget about it if he turns his hat around and then re-grips slowly. Oh, it's just game over.
Well, he's going over the top, Ben. You can't beat the over the top.
That's totally legal. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the parallels are pretty obvious. Like, these people traveling across the country to get to this huge tournament. I mean, it's almost like kind of like the dodgeball formula that is taken, you know, kind of taken off in recent years with those comedies and stuff. Like, there always seems to be some sort of massive $50,000 prize, which is like, who is putting up this award money for like these random events or whatever? It's like this Karate Kid mentality and everything. So I just thought it was really actual... and also like the thing with sorry to cut you off there, Tyler, I'll come back to you in just a second, but the thing that Eric mentioned earlier is like any character in this game, or I'm sorry, in this movie, can just pull out a Nintendo at almost any point and just play, like plug in and play. So it really is like Bo Bridges and Christian Slater are just playing video games in like Fleabag motels that they happen to be staying at, because Christian Slater just like essentially has one strapped to his back the entire movie. Like, he's like, oh yeah, I fixed it, it's good, and like they just they plug in and play. So it's kind of the way that Over the Top is, where Stallone is just arm wrestling people in diners and gas stations along the way too.
The structure is sort of like it's basically like porn, where instead of sex, it's video games. Where it's basically the movie looks for any excuse to have people play video games. It's all about video games. We've got a plot, but really it's let's find an excuse to have the characters play video games.
Man, yeah, that is the that's the special quote that's going in the advertisement of this episode. The wizard. It's like porn with video games. Nicely done. Tyler, you were about to say something and I cut you off.
Yeah, you know, there was an actual Nintendo tournament too going on during this time.
Wait,
right?
That was like a real thing?
Yeah, there was – well, it wasn't called Video Armageddon, but it was – in the movie, it was a very similar situation. They would have Nintendo tournaments, especially – I think in late 80s, early 90s as far. And I was just watching a video, like a gamer video, about the cartridge they used in these tournaments. Like, you had 10 minutes to go through three different games and like achieve so much – in the three different games. Like, the first one was Mario Brothers and you had to get like 50 coins. The second one was Rad Racer, I think. You had to finish the lap in Rad Racer. And then you had Tetris. And like, if you didn't get a million points throughout the three games by the end of the 10 minutes, you basically didn't have a chance of getting into the next round. So it was along the same lines of this. So it was just further advertisement for people to go to like these Nintendo conventions and these Nintendo tournaments.
Yeah, and also read like Power Magazine and these things that they keep hyping, you know, throughout the movie too. Like,
or call the hint line like the girl did, because that was like 90 cents a minute if you if you remember.
like, yeah, that part in particular kind of struck me as being very odd. They have this montage of Jimmy in Reno just basically going through arcade game after arcade game, and Haley on the phone with this Nintendo call center, and the guy that she's speaking to is, like, depicted as, like, oh, this guy could be your best friend. He's got his hat turned backwards. He's just got his hat, yeah. his feet kicked up on the desk. Sure, he'll help you out. He'll give you all the information that you need to know to win this big tournament, you know? It was like, this is the key to how to accomplish your mission, children of America. And also just the concept of there being people hired by Nintendo to just answer questions from kids about any video game. Like, I mean, obviously this movie is a precursor to the internet, or at least the internet in the way that we know it today. And it seemed like the Nintendo call center was kind of a forum, you know, like one of these websites that you could just go to. It was like before there were websites in that way, there was this call center that you could call and get cheat codes and walkthroughs and all the kind of stuff that yep. is kind of common terminology in the video game world these days.
That's basically what it was. Like, if you got stuck on a game, that was how Nintendo made more money, was they would have you, or you would be able to call in, and for like the first minute it was like 60 cents, and then every edition
oh, yeah.
was like $2. Like, it racked up like yeah. a 900 number.
Another movie that I kind of was drawing parallels to with The Wizard was Rain Man. I don't know if you guys
yeah.
had the same yeah. thoughts there. I mean, what did you guys think about the portrayal of Jimmy? I mean, not necessarily the actor and all that kind of stuff, but just the character himself.
It seemed like it seemed just kind of cheap. Like, it wasn't that he had a particular disorder or anything. He just sort of didn't talk. He was just sort of off. They didn't really address it at all. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like.
Yeah, Tyler, what did you think of him?
Yeah, he didn't really seem to enjoy playing video games. Like they said at the beginning, he was trying to find an outlet to express himself, and
right.
building things and whatever weren't doing it for him, and video games were. So it was more of like breathing for him as opposed to actually having fun. So, you know, the kids were forcing him to do this, and I thought, yeah, I agree with Eric. It was kind of like.
They were basically his pimps. Like, they'd use him as a hustler to compete. Because isn't there a thing where they're at the bus station or something and they hustle somebody for money?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those were the kind of over the top comparisons, because like that's what Stallone would do in that thing, was he would just need money and just like bet the biggest guy there that he could take him on, and that's kind of what this girl. I mean, Haley was like the. Was like the mastermind behind the whole thing, and this kind of corrupt influence of like, oh, okay, let's go ahead and, you know, let's do this. Let's try to swindle these kids. And like, of course it didn't turn out very well for them. They got beat up multiple times. Like, people would just come after them for money and like shake them down.
Yeah.
These like Mexican guys that they were like hitching a ride with and stuff. It's like really weird stuff that like, yeah, I guess they were dealing with like issues that normal kids wouldn't really be dealing with in that way.
Molesters and bounty hunters and gaming tournaments. These were things that kids in the Midwest dreamt about. Like, these were the fantasies of the world. Like, California and Florida and these theme parks were like, you had to like transcend dimensions to get there. Like, that's how we felt when we were kids. So,
right.
Like, to watch a movie like this was basically to live out a fantasy and go watch whatever.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
for a couple hours.
Yeah, and like they hitch rides with motorcycle gangs, like biker gangs and stuff, with no questions asked. And there's a lot of Haley's character, her parents are never seen in the whole thing, and she says that her dad is a – no, they don't matter at all. But she says her dad is a trucker. Like, there's a lot of exposition in this movie. Like, even in the very beginning with all the fighting and stuff between Fred Savage and Christian Slater and Beau Bridges, like all this – you know, everybody – basically in the first like 10 minutes of the movie, they're just in all these kind of bickering fight family scenes. They have to get out all this information about the divorce and what the current living scenario is and how Jimmy has this – problem and nobody really knows why, blah blah blah, and then of course it's revealed at the end that his sister had drowned right in front of him, which is like a horrifying thing. And this movie, like the ending of it especially, gets into some really somber territory, you know, like
that's horrible
kind of Jimmy's definition of California, like his you know,
that's
sunny,
every.
like exactly what you're saying, Tyler, like this kind of fantasy of these kids of what he thinks California is just his family being together and his sister, like the last place that his sister was happy before she drowned in front of him. Like, it's a terrible thing.
But it gives it gives the movie meaning.
It does. Yeah, I think it means a lot. It does give the movie meaning, and it does give it a little bit of heart, but it's like at the same time, the entire movie, as Eric said, is us watching people play video games. Like, there's not a lot here as far as, I don't know, I just feel like they kind of tacked that on as kind of like you guys were saying, like a cheap, like Jimmy just seems kind of a mechanism instead of a character to me.
It's fair. It's we wanted to make a movie promoting Nintendo and Universal Studios, and let's have a kid. You know, he watched his sister drown. That'll be great. Let's have that be the thing.
Yeah, it's.
Well, I guess that maybe it was like the director where Nintendo came to him and was just like, "We need you to make a movie about Nintendo." He's like, "Well, can I involve this and this and this?" So maybe there's some type of backstory to it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how this movie came to be.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
The Wikipedia page.
Later. Tyler, is there anything that you wanted to bring up about the film?
I said it. Like I said, I mean, I enjoyed the movie. Well, I mean, this was one of those movies. I don't really remember the movies I watched when I was a kid. I know this was one of them, but I didn't really remember exactly what happened because I was a kid and I was like ADD or whatever. And like I said, it was like this fantasy that all these kids, especially in the Midwest where there's really nothing to do, it was something to go see and basically live out vicariously through these characters. So, going back and watching it now, I mean, it seems cornball, but at the same time, like you said, Ben, it's not a commercial, but it's made for children that age in the 80s.
Yeah. One other thing that I wanted to mention that I just remembered was that, you know, we didn't even mention the character of Lucas, which is like this kind of badass, like video game guru that they meet along the way, who also happens to be heading to the same competition,
even though
they run into him in like Utah or something. And
I love Power Glove.
Yeah, he's the one with the Power Glove and everything. I mean, did you guys have you guys ever experienced like a real Power Glove? Have you ever played with a real Power Glove? I've never done that at all.
No.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen one.
Yeah, I don't know. There's actually a band called Power Glove. Tyler, you remember you and I saw this band at one point?
I'm extremely familiar with the band Power Glove.
Okay, good. Eric, I don't know. Have you ever heard of the band Power Glove?
No, I don't think that's really a thing.
If I could make a theme song for my life, it would probably be Power Glove.
Sir, I will tell you, it is most assuredly a thing. The band is called Power Glove. They are a hard rocking metal band that does metal covers of video game music. Like, they played the Tetris theme song and like some stuff from the Mario and just all kinds
Mega
of like
Man Bird.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
nice.
It's really actually, you know what? I'm gonna find some and I'm gonna play a clip of a Power Glove song right now. So let's take a listen or take a second and listen to that. Hang on 1 second. So yeah, I mean you get the picture there.
Sure, yeah, that's pretty cool.
sorry about that.
Eric's no longer with folks. It's just me and Ben now.
No, yeah. I can see being into that. Sure.
Okay.
I don't believe you.
I mean, it's no Radiohead, but you know.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so now that we've gone off on the Power Glove tangent,
it's pretty good too.
I just wanted to get them in there, give them a little props. They opened for a band called Dragon Force, which is equally, probably more ridiculous. Really
by far, but
kind of gives you guys an insight into the musical stylings of Tyler and I, but. All right, so, yeah, I guess, Tyler, we basically just got your kind of closing thoughts on the film just a minute ago. So, Eric, let's go to you. Any kind of concluding things or any other latent issues that you wanted to bring up with this film?
No, it's a stupid movie for kids, and it came out a long time ago, and it was a commercial for Nintendo. And I guess Nintendo's still in business, so I guess they did pretty well.
Yeah, right on.
So good for them.
That's about as a succinct.
And scene.
Yeah, that's pretty right on the money there. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I enjoyed the movie on like the most base level. You know, I didn't despise it and didn't think it was overly bad as some of these types of movies are wont to get. Yeah.
Did I mention how much I love the soundtrack?
No, you didn't, actually.
The soundtrack was awesome.
I don't remember it at all.
I barely remember it, and I just saw the movie. Like, what? Are you just talking
songs,
about
all the songs worked? Like, they all worked in the movie.
There were a couple songs that I remember being like during the montage sequences and stuff, and it's like super really cheesy, over the top, like almost power ballad type of thing.
Yeah, like Stan Bush or Giorgio Moroder music.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I didn't realize that.
I dig that stuff.
Okay. All right.
The guy, Giorgio Moroder, or I don't think I'm saying his name right, did the music for Over the Top as well, and I dug that soundtrack too. Full circle.
Nice.
There you go. Good.
Oh, one other thing that I wanted to mention that I'm looking at my notes right now as we're wrapping this up. I have written down tour guide chase scene at the end, like when they were going through Universal Studios. We mentioned the King Kong stuff, but I've never really seen a tour cart with like tourists on it be a set piece in a movie. That was just kind of a strange thing that I wanted to mention.
The other cool part was the ridiculousness of the Nintendo competition host. He was on some type of PCP the entire time. He just really loved video games and children.
Oh yeah,
he was
That's right. That guy was weird.
I mean, Nintendo just straps him back up and like cryogenically freezes him until next video Armageddon, because that guy is just.
Yeah, he seemed like a cross between the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and I believe it's Richard Dawson's character in The Running Man. I may have that wrong.
That's right.
Okay. But yeah, it was just like this weird balance of creepiness and the, like, super excitement, like, and like heightened excitement about what he was doing.
Drug induced activity.
Wide eyed.
Well, when your movie is centered around, when the climax of your movie is a video game playing tournament, you've got to sell it that this is the most exciting thing that could possibly happen. I mean, that's what they built the movie around, so they'd better, you know, sell it.
Yeah,
steal your parents' money and go to California.
That's the message of the wizard. Absolutely. Okay. Well, yeah. There we go. So let's go ahead and Tyler, if you want to rev up the Apple II and figure out what we're going to be watching next week.
Sure, no problem. Eric, are you familiar with the Apple II?
Not the one you're talking about, probably. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well,
do you mean the actual computer?
Well, it's an Apple II that we built here at Not Just New Movies Podcast, and it basically has only one program. It has one protocol, and it's just to randomly pick our next movie.
Yeah, okay. I'll go along with that, sure. Yeah, all right, the Apple II. Yeah. Do that.
All right, Ben, why don't we switch it on?
All right, go for it.
Oh, guys, maybe Eric, you can join us for this next one. We're watching G.I. Joe, the newest incarnation of the famous action figure / TV show commercial.
Right. The Rise of Cobra.
Yeah, The Rise of Cobra, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Channing Tatum.
Nice. Wow. Okay. If you guys want to, I believe that G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra is available on Netflix Watch Instant. Is that right, Tyler?
Yes, it is.
Okay. You guys can watch along with us and send us an email. Let us know what you think of that movie or The Wizard or anything that we've covered on this podcast before. Send us an email at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 904-469-6566. You can subscribe to this podcast for free in iTunes, by the way, and we are also on Facebook and Twitter, and we do have a couple new Twitter followers, if I'm not mistaken, so I want to go ahead and read those off real quick. I think we've got four? Okay, here we go. So you guys can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/NJNMpodcast. At Destageddon, which is probably Tyler. Thank you for that. At Spoiler Podcast. Thanks for the follow there. At Bonds _Griffiths. And at Napier's News Feed. So thanks for the follows there, guys.
That was like the magic mirror on Nerd Romper Room.
Romper Room predates me, Eric. I'm not going to lie.
She would look in the magic mirror and she would read the names of children who were watching the show. you would have your mom send in your name and she'd say, "Oh, and I see Susie and Jimmy and whatever." It was very exciting.
Okay, well, now that you've explained the context to me, I can properly laugh at that joke because it is funny. So
I'm 100 years old.
Awesome. Well, yes.
Shy a few bricks, I'd say.
Oh, phenomenal. All right, well, let's go ahead and finish up the character name game and see if you guys can guess what movie Thomas Gabriel is from.
I accidentally cheated. Live Free or Die Hard. Sorry, I couldn't. I've been sitting here at my computer for the last hour. What else am I going to do?
Oh, damn you, Eric. I couldn't cheat.
You're our first winner to guess on the first try. That's awesome.
I'm the first person to admit cheating.
We've all cheated. We just don't admit to it.
That's true.
That was Timothy Oliphant's character in Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I love it. All right. Yes. Thank you, Eric. Good guess. It is Tim Oliphant's character in Live Free or Die Hard. And the connection to a movie that was released today is Timothy Oliphant plays a character named Henry in the new movie I Am Number 4, directed by...
Oh, I thought you were going to say Big Mama's House.
No, not.
I think I would have lost it. I would have just clocked out.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, let's go around the circle very briefly and... everybody just tell us where you can find more of your work on the internet. So Eric D. Snyder, let's start with you.
You can find me at film.com and at Cinematical. And I have a podcast too, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Movie BS with Bear and Snyder at Cascadia.fm every Friday. We do it live and then it's also downloadable from the iTunes and stuff. Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Nice. Good stuff. And you're also on Twitter, correct?
Yes, Eric D. Snyder.
Nice. Tyler, let's go to you.
The Solar Sentinel, .blogspot.com, Destageddon, and that's it.
All right, right on.
Oh, I run the Twitter. Twitter.
The Not Just New Movies podcast Twitter, at NJNM Podcast. Very good.
So if you're talking to the podcast, you're talking to me.
Yep, that's Twitter. True. Nice. So you guys can track me down on Twitter, twitter.com/BenPears. See me writing occasionally at geektyrant.com, filmonic.com, and notjustnewmovies.com, the namesake for this podcast. You can also hear me on the Geek Tyrant Weekly podcast. Music for our show is provided by George Turner and the Bandits. You can find their music at gtbandits.com, and they're also on Twitter and Facebook, so check them out there. Eric D. Snyder, special thanks to you for stopping by and donating some of your time and joining us on the Not Just the Movies podcast. I appreciate it, sir.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Right on, definitely. All right, well, next week is G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra, so prepare yourselves for that and listen in next week. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll talk to you later on. Money that